everyone. Hello. That's the best intro we're ever going to do.
I fucking hate Christmas.
Yeah, you don't. You're always putting Christmas shit on in the car. I'm the one who hates Christmas.
Christmas shopping already. I think you're already prepared for Christmas.
What are you on about? It's Christmas Day today. Hello, it's Christmas Day today.
Well,
it's not Christmas Day today.
It's not. This has not been pre-recorded. You are listening to it on Christmas Day.
This is live.
Right,
I guarantee there will still be things I need to buy on Christmas Day.
Good looking, like Tesco.
Like spice.
Like spice, yeah.
Bag of spice.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I start with I hate fucking Christmas?
Of course you can. We are not going to try and change who you are. And
you say that, but you don't.
I'm all right with Christmas, like the week before Christmas or the week off Christmas. I'm all right with them. I can't deal with it up until then.
Is it the hype? Is it the...
I just hate Christmas.
I hate Christmas.
Like, I can't deal with it in the shops in August.
No, I mean, I get really annoyed. I got really annoyed that they put the Christmas lights up yesterday.
I like the Christmas chocolates. I like the fact that I can get a big tube of Smarties.
I don't think Christmas is very eco-friendly. So all you people out there who are going, oh, let's be nice to the planet, turn your fucking Christmas lights off. How about that?
Mate, the amount of bills that people must be having from... I know a little bit about it, but yeah, the amount people spend on their Christmas lights is absolutely insane.
I don't even put our Christmas tree up unless people are coming round.
We've got a Christmas tree.
We have got a Christmas tree. And baubles.
I'm not bothered. Last year I put my Christmas tree up about 3 days before Christmas.
I have put it up
three
on Christmas
days
Day.
Afterwards. Oh, shit, I missed it.
I have put it up on Christmas Day.
I get the... that's nice. I've not done that before.
People were coming round. I was like, shit, we ain't got a Christmas tree up.
Yeah.
I'd put a Christmas tree out and then burn it. I'll hang it upside down and then burn it as like a fucking... Like, yeah, this shit's going down. You know, like you do with a flag. Like the American flag, when they put it upside down and burn it because it's like a sign. What is it, a sign of? Something like...
So if a flag's upside down, it means it's a call for help.
Yeah, and then you burn it, and then it means...
Burn it is just a different thing altogether.
Well, that I'll do that with a Christmas tree.
That's kind of a anti-establishment sort of statement.
Yes.
More than anything else. You know, yeah. Anti-establishment statement towards Christmas.
Well, it is very establishment, let's be honest. It's just fucking capitalism 101, isn't it? Fucking birth of Christ. Here's a PlayStation 4.
Get through the winter, come on.
Get through the winter, just smoke spice. But it's true, though, isn't it? It's not very eco-friendly, Christmas.
No, it's not. I mean, the fact that there's always, like, wrapping paper, like, bless him, my dad tries every time we get him a present to sort of, like, purposely, like...
I do that.
Cut the sellotape off without destroying the wrapper to use again the next time. My dad doesn't wrap that many Christmas presents. It's my mum that does it all. I doubt she reuses Christmas paper.
No, yeah, I don't reuse Christmas paper, but I just don't like ripping it. I feel like I'm ruining it.
We got recyclable Christmas paper now. No, just don't fucking, just, you know what, just... Give them the present. They probably know what it is anyway. Or they probably don't like it because everyone's fucking selfish now. Mm. Especially them young'uns. Kids, you're all shit.
You know, I could probably handle this myself. Let's say we grab a beer in a few hours, catch up properly.
Let's start where we always start. We've been playing with...
Your dick.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
I don't.
Play with bait, anyway.
No, don't have a dick.
Let's not go down that road. Not had enough beer yet to start discussing the relations between the two of you.
But when you say dick, it's not like my phallus. It's just me as a human being.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. Yeah, you play with the dick.
I've broken Greg's.
Well, you've given me enough time to sort of figure out what I have been playing.
How does Casper do it?
What I've been playing is Red Dead Redemption 2. As I'm sure the majority of people out there have been playing.
Yep.
It's one of those games that just just everyone is aware of it. It's also the biggest selling franchise, biggest selling IP of all time, and broke all the records. I think it sold, what, 700 million?
Is it done better than... It's not made more Tetris. Than GTA, though, has it?
Not cumulatively, no. I mean, GTA Online is somewhere about 6.5 billion all over, but Red Dead on its opening weekend made about 700 million. So it's on course to break it. And it's justified to some extent. It's a great game. It's just fucking huge. And it's really fun to play, but it takes I think the intro is about 4 hours. So and then the next bit, so like I mean I was playing it for at least 2 weeks because I didn't get a chance to play it like most people like most people. I had work and then I'd come home and I'd play it after I'd done my stuff, so I'd get about a couple hours a night, and it felt like I'd been doing the tutorial for about 2 weeks, where it was just like, I'm still learning how to do stuff. It's like, what the fuck? I'm seeing people have completed this game, and like speaking to people that I know that have played it, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm on like chapter 7, I'm doing this stuff, I'm in this place. Like, I'm still learning how to fucking hunt. Like, this is long. But it's great. It really is. It's a game that you could play for years. It's so in-depth. It's got so much attention to detail in everything that you do, and it's really fun. It's just really slow.
I've heard it's got a slow start. Would you say though, now games are getting, see, because this is the thing with, I found with some, well, Rockstar do and a lot of other games do, and it's not just Rockstar, but a game's getting too big where, again, it's really big, but there's not much in it. I mean, I know Red Dead's got a lot in it, but some games are just, they're getting too big. Like, here's a massive landscape. It's like, yeah, but is this really in depth? Can I, like, is there a lot to actually in a building, and I can get in every room in a building, and I can do this and that, you know? That's
also the thing is, people are like working more now. People like aren't spending like all day at home because we got bills to pay. We became
some
adults.
Some people do though. Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, yeah, we became adults and didn't get to spend the same amount of time that some people. There's still kids there out there that are playing. Like, I'm.
But like, school's harder, college is harder. You know, you've got to spend a lot more time. You know, there's a lot more time taken from doing the stuff we have to do to survive in life.
Very true.
I think getting games that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, yeah, it's great. It's like, look how great we are. We can give you a massive map that takes you forever to get around. It's like, who's got time? I get it. It's a great game. I'm
really
okay with it.
Game.
Story, I've heard it's great. I have avoided every single gameplay that I can because I don't want anything to be ruined. But I don't know. It's like, I haven't got that time to dedicate anymore. It took me long enough to do GTA 5. That wasn't as big.
It is, like I say, it's a very big game. And as you say about, it's a really big world, which a lot of games are very hollow. GTA kind of get around that a lot by...
I think GTA is not quite hollow, though.
Sorry, I misspoke. Red Dead is quite the opposite. I mean, every city that you go into, you can go into every room, you can speak to every person within it. There are little bits of story and everything around it that's enriched the world, especially every town you go into. The camp itself, again, you can speak to every person in it and build relationships with them. And the more time you spend with somebody else in the camp, the more you get to know them, the more you can do sort of side stories with them. And you can get to form really powerful bonds that, if those bonds break during the course of the story, it can actually have a meaningful sort of reaction from you. What it does, sort of tricks the player a little bit when it turns about the hollow of the open world. Yes, every place that you go is beautiful to look at. The waterfalls, the trees, the weather is absolutely fantastic. The attention to detail and things like water and rain and muds and all that good stuff makes it look amazing. But when you're running around, there's practically like three things that happen. There are stranger encounters, which is just randomly generated. There's hunting, which is great. And then there's the odd passerby where you can rob somebody or whatever. all of which are great in small doses, but when you're playing it, the scope of GTA, those things get so repetitive so quickly. And also, they have this really annoying thing with a lot of their missions where I think it's called rubber banding. But it's basically where you basically have to chase somebody and there's no way of you actually catching that person because it's basically just it's a sprint from one place to another, but prefixed with someone that you have to chase. So it feels like I'm chasing somebody, but I'm never going to catch them. I can get right close to them and it just feels forced. And there are just too many moments where it feels like forced mechanics on you. But again, it's really enjoyable. I'd recommend anybody play it.
It's on my card. It's not something
I'm not going to.
People are going to go crazy. Whoa! I'm like, no, I'm going to get it and I'm going to play it. But I've got too many big games at the minute, and it's just you get fatigued when you get older with playing big games because you don't finish them. I've still got Phantom Pain. I've not finished it. Granted, it kind of got a bit. It's systematically, it's good, but yeah, it gets to a point. I'll get back to it, but that's the thing, it's like one of them. I'm like, right, that's going on a back burner for a bit.
Yeah, I can't see me 100% in this. I 100%ed pretty much most of the GTA games and Red Dead 1. I do not think I've got the time and patience to.
I think I find myself just mainly focusing on main story now and big games like that, just because it's just like. It takes a lot for me to do side stuff now in a big game because it's just like I've got too many games.
The thing is, though, the thing is with Rockstar is they do side missions better than most. Those side missions are just as memorable as the actual main plot.
Yeah,
that's what saved the last Deus Ex side missions. Main missions were a bit, but the side missions in that were really, really good. Yeah, if they do side missions well, then you want to give it a go, but...
Yeah, I'm nowhere near even halfway through it, maybe even 30% through it. So I'll be curious to see what happens to the latter parts of the game and see if they can keep me interested. But I've already had to put it down to play the Spider-Man DLC, which was better. Spider-Man, it's
controversial.
It's not even a contest. Spider-Man's better than a cowboy all day, every day.
Lola.
What?
Lola.
What have I been playing?
Yeah, what have you been playing?
So, I've done the last episode. I'd been playing Yakuza 2, Kiwami thingy.
You mentioned this last time.
Yeah,
How's it feel?
I was just glazing over it. I'm nearly at the end. I've only got the last bit to do. Mm-hmm. So the last chapter. And I can't bring myself to do it yet. Because if it's anything like the first Yakuza, it'll take me like 3 hours. Because it's just cutscene.
Oh.
Bit of action.
Oh, you got me my hopes up that it was you couldn't bring yourself to finish because you didn't want to see it end, or you were too emotionally attached to the characters to see it end.
To be fair, the first Yakuza ending just blew me away. It was a fantastic ending. Like, it was amazing. Like, and you know, this will be just as amazing. I know what's kind of coming, I think, from build up to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the compared to number one, this has a lot more cutscenes.
Really?
That go on for ages. And ages. And ages. They literally go on for about 40 minutes.
Jesus.
I was streaming it. And I could, like, put the controller down and just have a general conversation.
That seems quite annoying. Doesn't seem like it's the right thing to stream if you're going to be able to...
No, so I took it off. Because I enjoy the game. Like, that's something I'm probably going to get immersed in for me. Because I got quite involved, but the thing is with the cutscenes, I couldn't get involved and immersed in it, so I've kind of missed out a little bit on this one compared to the first one. So yeah, I'm nearly at the end of that one, so that'll be finished pretty soon. And then I have been playing a couple of little indie titles. So one that I played very recently was The Last Day of June.
Okay, not heard of that.
Something I have wanted to play for a long, 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 long time. Since it was released.
Okay.
It was released on my birthday in 2017.
Okay.
Which is my 30th birthday.
didn't need to go into that, but sure.
Yeah, but to me, that like,
yeah, 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 kind of resonates. Yeah, of
it made me feel like, oh, actually, yeah, I really want to play this.
Yeah.
So it was. It looked like really cute. It kind of reminded me from the trailers. It reminded me of Up, the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was down with Up, and I thought, right, this is going to be cool. Down with Up. And it, you know, looked cool. So I thought, yeah, there's a bash. You know, about three and a half hours long. It's so not overly long. And you know what? Cracking little game.
So what's it about? What's
so you...
The last day of June.
The last day of June, really. So it's about...
What's the last day of June even mean? It's not the end of summer. It's not like...
It's not the end of summer. Why? It's not the end of summer. Of so all the things you could say, it's just not the end of summer.
So it's about the events of one day. At 3 o'clock.
Okay.
From 3 o'clock. And you replay the same day. And it's the day in the life of this couple.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not going to give too much away because...
You've given nothing away. I'm still not sure why it's the last day of June.
Well, it's so, just set in the last day of June. That's all you need to know.
It's just a day, right?
Yeah, it's just... Okay. It's the one last day of June.
Okay, cool.
So, it's one day. You, but the one thing that obviously, you know, there's obviously a downside to some games. And the downside to this game was, as I say, you replay the same day.
Oh, okay, cool.
So and okay, it's a puzzler.
Yeah, yeah.
And you watch the same cutscene.
Okay, I played a
really every time.
Cool game that did that.
Yeah, it's a great game, but if I didn't have to sit through that cutscene, if I could have a skip button, that would be brilliant.
Or if it just kind of... moves it along quick.
I was going to say, so it didn't do something differently based on what you'd done previously?
Sometimes, yeah, but does. Then sometimes you realise, oh, actually, there's a collectible I want to go back and get.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm one of those, and I'll let's go yeah. collect everything. So then you have to go sit through that cutscene again, twice.
And there's not a skip button.
No. So I would have preferred a skip button. Other than that, great game, great little story, great ending. I recommend it to anybody. If you are on Discord and you have Nitro, don't ask. You two don't have a clue what that
is. Not even close to a clue.
Yeah. So anyway, Nitro, you can use your emotes everywhere, is free with Nitro. So you can play it for awesome. Free. It's not overly expensive either. I think it's like a fiver.
Okay.
It's on, I think it's on all platforms, but I would need to check that. But I'm pretty sure it's on PS4, definitely. It's on PC. It is a great little game. I do recommend it. It's like, as I say, 3 hours long. You know,
that's nothing.
Very, very immersive. Just needed a skip button. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, 3.5 hours. That's less than like the first learning how to ride a horse in Red Dead. I could easily bash that out in an evening.
It was very, very good. And, you know, credit to... Oh, I'm not going to say this right, but it's like Onosonic or Sosnic that make it. I know, Ovosonic. I can't say it. I told you I can't say it. Anyway, the developers that made it.
Yeah, that works.
The developers that made it, great. Great. They did a great job.
Right.
It was an indie game, and taking the fact that it is an indie game, great game.
Right.
Do you recommend it?
Cool, okay, yeah, I mean, I love those little puzzles. I would say it's a guide in replayability value, but given that you were unable to watch the cutscenes throughout the course of the first
place. There is no replayability to it.
No replayability value.
No.
Okay, nice.
Once the ending's done,
it's over.
That's it. So that's fine. It's good that it's cheap or free with Nitro. You know, if you can pick it up for a few quid, I definitely recommend it. If it's any more than... maybe 7, don't. It's not worth it. But
that's semantics. I mean, it's worth what you want to pay for it. But yeah, if it's a good enough game to give you 3.5 hours worth of solid content, and it's an interesting narrative, and it's a puzzle game.
Yeah. The music was great.
Mm.
There's no real talking in it.
Okay, yeah.
The last song was a bit shit.
The last song was a bit shit, but most of the music is very good. It won, I believe it won an award for its
award.
Music. Award. For its music.
Nice.
For its soundtrack. So yeah, the soundtrack is beautiful throughout, pretty much apart from the end.
Okay.
Which way it goes a bit random.
Okay.
But Jack.
Me?
Yes, you.
No, the other Jack.
What, the one in the PC?
Yeah.
Ba-dum-ps! Here we go. here all week. I have been playing something that usually Lola would play, but it's a different one that involves zombies, and that's Yakuza Dead Souls.
Didn't think you were going that direction when you said zombies.
It's on the PS3. It's Yakuza, but with zombies. So you start off as one of the characters, I think, in number 3 or 4. I'm not 100% sure. You start off in this little quarantine zone. There's been an zombie infection. And throughout the game, you'll play as different characters, and the quarantine zone gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And, it's just daft, really. As normal Yakuza's based more on hand-to-hand combat, this is with guns. The controls and camera is a bit iffy to get used to, because say if you move your camera behind you in a normal game and then you went to press the shoot button, he would turn around and shoot in that direction. Now you'll always shoot in front of him, so the camera will just snap back and you're like, ah. But it's an oldish game, so you kind of, you know, deal with it in that regard. But it's just it's a lot of fun. It's daft. There's some really funny bits in it, people who are outside the quarantine zone protesting at the army for treating the zombies disrespectfully because they are zombies and they are people. And it was just stupid stuff like that in there. Or someone who wants to make a restaurant inside the zombie area. You have to liberate shops and stuff in the quarantine area, and then you can go in, so you could be just running around shooting zombies and then go in for a nice pizza or something.
So it's kind of like clearing the city of the zombie infection.
Well, you don't clear the city, you go into the quarantine area and then you come out the quarantine zone, and then you can go in the hostess bars and stuff like that, do side stuff like that.
Right.
And talk to other people for side quests, but they may say, can you do this thing inside the quarantine zone? Then you go in the quarantine zone, shoot loads of stuff, then you might come across a shop where someone wants the shop liberating, so you can use that shop then when you're in the quarantine zone. It's just daft. There's some side missions where there's a director in the quarantine zone who wants to make a film. He's got no budget, but because it's zombies and stuff, he just gets you to go and shoot stuff. You play as 4 characters, you play as the guy, then you play as Majima, who's obviously a fan favourite with his eye patch. He starts off by him watching zombie films in his office, and then zombies burst in his doors and he realises that zombies are coming in, and he's just excited that he gets to kill zombies.
He's more happy
than he's just there for the thrill of it. He's just like, I'm getting to kill zombies, this is ace, this is what I want.
I imagine there's quite a few people in this world that are looking forward to a zombie apocalypse, given that
you're looking at one right now. And then there's Raiju. Raiju, he's in it, who has a minigun on his arm.
As you do. Yeah. Oh, like Barrett from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, and it has the best reload animation I've ever seen. So if you reload it normally, it'll just go, it'll like open up and then go, and then close.
Mm-hmm.
But if you shoot until every button, every bullet's wasted, it like opens up and it goes, and just every time it did that, it's just like, fucking that is ace.
there was something amazing and somewhat magical about the reload animations, and
it's because how he holds it up as well, and you just see it spin like and just with that sound, and then closes, and it's like, and it's just, oh, it's so satisfying. Yeah, every time I was just like, I'm just gonna shoot so every bullet runs out. There's special zombies in there that are kind of, some of them are very Left 4 Dead-y. Some of them are not, but it's very arcadey, obviously, Yakuza's are. Yeah, but it reminds me a lot of Zombies Revenge on the Dreamcast, because of that arcadey. So that was that arcadey beat 'em up kind of thing with zombies, and it kind of feels like an extension of that. If that was done nowadays, it would probably be Yakuza Dead Souls. It got quite panned, Yakuza Dead Souls. It's the dark horse in the Yakuza series. But it's, you know what, it's a lot of laugh. You heat things so that in the normal Yakuza, you usually do like a special punch or an uppercut. In this, it will target like an environmental thing. So it might be a pipe in the wall or a fuel tank of a car, and then it will follow the bullet, and then you'll hit a fuel tank and blow up. And it's daft. It's mindless. It was quite mindless to just sometimes come home, crack a can open, and just run around and shoot zombies and just nothing, do some shit.
Nothing wrong with that. That's sometimes what you actually want from gaming.
Yeah.
My first question is it canon to the rest of the story?
It's a kind of side, non-canon side thing. So it goes up to, I think, either 3 or 4.
Right.
And then I think it's before 4, I can't remember. It spins off after that.
Okay.
It's following one and then spins off on its own kind of path.
Right.
But you play as Kiru, don't you?
Yeah, at the end, and they fucking build him up because obviously he's the main boy, isn't he?
Mm.
So when he like shows up, it's like the devs know, and they make it like, yeah, he's here. And it's like,
I think I know who you play as, but the name has escaped me. It's Kira's brother.
Akima, I think his name is. Yeah. Something like that at the start. And, it's a lot of fun. It was, nice. You know, it's not the best game in the world, but it's not the worst game. You just have a blast. If you also get enough love hearts with the hostess, you can take them in the quarantine zone. They will be a partner with you shooting zombies.
Oh, okay, so you can build some.
Yeah, you can find people who will build them, and then you can take them to a. There's a certain place where you can train them up and do training things. Oh, okay. So they become better.
So there's an RPG element in terms of.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's, you can level up your character as well, which each. When you level up, it doesn't stick to. So if you level up Majima, it doesn't just stick to Majima, it continues on as well to the other characters.
It's a player level rather than a character
level. Yeah, yeah. So, it's got enough in there to keep you going and enough.
Still holds up, even though you said it was a
Once you get used to the camera-y kind of thing, yeah, it's worth playing. If it's cheap enough, I think. It's quite relatively cheap. And if you've got it and you've got a PS3, grab it if you want just a little laugh, something you can blast on. At first, I didn't like it. When I first played it, I was a bit like, But then when you actually get in the mind frame of it, just being an arcade-y game, then you start to appreciate what it is.
Nice. When you say the camera, do you mean it's a static camera?
No, it's just weird, as I said. So, like, if you move it behind you and you want to shoot behind you, well, it'll just continue going forward. Oh, right. It's just a bit clunky, yeah, and fiddly and a bit... But...
immersion breaking, I find.
Yeah, it's a bit staticky-ish in some places, but, yeah, it's not... Yeah, you just got to get used to it. But, again, people today can't deal with that shit. As old gamers had to grin and bear a lot of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely.
Except for Star Fox Zero, I got right. So I used to stick up for Star Fox Zero, and it's. Jeez. Yeah, until I got to the last boss, and I went, "This fucking camera angle's bullshit."
You rage quit that game.
I did. I went, I'm turning it off because I'm not going to... I'm dying on this boss, not because of my player level, because of this fucking camera's bullshit. And I just went, you know what? I ain't fucking doing it. Because you die right at the end and then you have to go straight to phase 1 again. And that's phase 3 at the end.
Wait, when you say rage quit, did you mean rage quit like total? Like,
no, never go back to it? Yeah, well, I'm probably not going to.
Can't you get it up any more than that?
Depends how drunk he is.
So, for Christmas, I imagine some of you have had a PlayStation 1 Clásico in Spanish.
It's called the Clásico.
Yeah, it should be called the Clásico.
But it's not called the Clásico.
El Clásico is a very...
we've not really talked about it, and there's been some controversy with it. A lot of people have had a lot of mixed feelings on it, so we thought we would run through the games and... kind of say our thoughts on it, really. But all in all, we'll do the all in all at the end of it. I think that makes sense.
Just before we go into the games and all in all, I think it's better than most of the mini games that many versions of consoles that's come out in terms of what you get with it.
I don't know. SNES had Super Metroid on. So, you know.
Well, I mean, is that not just going to win anything for you because it's Super Metroid? So it could just be a...
And it did have, to be fair, had Star Fox 2, which was unreleased, so...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was
quite good. And, there was all... The mini NES was a bit... but I'm a bit... You know, NES is all right. I'm like that with the NES. I like the NES, but it's not something I'm crazy about because it's... A bit before my time. Well, not just a bit before my time. It's just, it's still gaming in its infancy. There's some really good stuff in there.
100%,
But yeah, it was, you know, super, I can't fucking speak. Super Nintendo is where it, I just glitched. just glitched out a bit there. I became a Bethesda game. So yeah, Griggs, you've got the list. Yeah, so there's 20
games.
List, bitch.
20 games that are released on it. I'd say it probably is about 50-50 split in terms of quality and filler.
Where's Crash Bandicoot?
Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot literally just came out in a remastered version. On what universe do you think they're going to spend all that work to redo a version of a game and then just give it away on a console?
Spyro? Where's Spyro?
Well, this is it. People are saying Spyro.
Spyro's just recently made. Jesus.
That's what people have been saying. Like, why ain't Crash Bandicoot on it? Why ain't Spyro on it? A, Sony don't own the fully rights anymore to them.
Big point.
And B, like we said, they've come out already and people are like, well, you know, this is an impulsive buy for people who aren't gamers. I'm like, but that would have been... How many consoles do you think Sony shifted just because of Crash Bandicoot? Because someone, holy shit, Crash Bandicoot's coming out again. Mm-hmm. I don't own it, but I'll buy it because of that to relive me. There wouldn't, maybe not loads, but they would have shifted some units because of it. It's still in the top fucking 10, I think, in the UK game charts.
Top 20 now.
Is it top 20? It's still stayed in there since it's come out. It was sold out in game, which since when do you ever hear of games selling out anymore?
A way out.
So
the big game, it outsold. It outsold something really big as well.
Yeah, and so, you know what? Yeah, that's why it's not there, because it's, you know, still a business.
And also, why are you focusing on what you haven't got when you can focus on what you have got? I mean... I'll go into them in a bit more detail in a second, but...
I think it's because they're going PlayStation Classic. These are classic, these are iconic. Yeah, they are, but you know what? Just buy fucking Crash Bandicoot on the PlayStation 4 if you want to play Crash Bandicoot. Because... You get all three instead of one.
Exactly. They would only be able to put one on there, and it'd be annoying when you got... Well, what's the rest of them? Oh, well, you go buy the game that's we spent a lot of time making. So I guess there's two ways we could do this. I think I'm just going to go through the fillers first, and I want you guys to sort of shout out as to if there's any of these that you've played or you think that probably aren't fillers. But for me, they very much are. So Battle Arena Toshinden?
I think I have. Fighting game, 3D. It's kind of, if I remember right, Soul Blader, you do have weapons in it. Okay. It was really early PlayStation, so I think that's why it's in there. I think it's like one of the first fighting games to come out on it. So, you know,
Cool Borders 2, that's the snowboarding one, isn't it?
Yeah, I like Cool Borders. I've got a lot of time for Cool Borders. It's no 1080 on the N64, because 1080 was fucking...
That was amazing.
1080 was a boy. But, Cool Borders, you know what? Yeah, it's good little game.
Was it called 1080 because it's in 1080p?
No. God, it's so far away from 1080p.
Is it 2 megapixel?
Yeah. It's definitely polygons that you can see the polygons on. No, 1080 was the degrees
of making a funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, Call Borders the games are alright. They're you know, a good lot of fun then. So
yeah, good fun. I was awful at them.
Were you?
Yeah, awful. Still can't play them properly.
That one's probably on the fence, Oscar. Intelligent Cube.
Probably everyone has played this, but they don't know it. I know it, obviously. Swamp bastard, hello, matron. So demo one. We all have probably played demo one, right? The first ever demo that you got with a PlayStation.
I've said this before. I never owned a PlayStation.
You never owned a PlayStation.
I was N64, Dreamcast, Sega Saturn.
So you never played Demo 1's legendary.
I got a PS2, like everybody else on the planet, and then went back and played the majority of the games on PS1.
Well, you missed that.
I played a lot with my friends growing up, that they had PlayStations, I had other games, so we played each other's game. But yeah, a lot of them I just missed.
Well, you people at home, if you played Demo 1, which hopefully some of you have, because it's a great demo, there was a game where you play this little guy and these cubes roll towards you and you lay little kind of like mines and you blow up the cubes and then the back bit gets smaller and smaller and then you've got to keep blowing up these cubes in time. That's that game. It's a really good little puzzle game. It's really different. So yeah, it's a good game. And you know what? People are going, oh, Intelligent Cube, but because it's been on Demo 1 and it's a game that people who have played Demo 1 know but never really bought, I think it's a good mix for that. And I think it's a good mix as well because that's a hard game to find for collectors.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not it's not the easiest game to find, so for a collector maybe like me who's not come across it well, it's made it a bit more ideal to try and probably, you know, I'll pick it up, yeah, because, you know, it's going to be quite hard to find Intelligent Cube or whatever, and just an easier way of playing. So it's a little hidden gem that, and I'm quite glad that they've gone for hidden gems because of people like collectors, which I've seen a lot of collectors have said it's good for that reason, because there is some hidden gems like Toshiba and
Toshinden
and Intelligent Cube.
Let's just get through a couple of the other ones. Jumping Flash, Mr. Drummer.
Classic. Jumping Flash is a classic. It's a first-person kind of shooter platformer. Again, hidden gem. Great game.
Okay. And then the only other than Mr. Driller,
Mr. Driller is a puzzle game that's also very good.
Maybe Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo.
They're good. Never played them.
I'm pretty sure I remember that being decent.
Yeah. So it's like a game where you make different colours bigger and then you have a gem that will blow up them colours and then that will throw it to your opponent, right. And it's little Street Fighter characters who fight each other in the corners.
Yeah,
so like a Street Fighter version of Bejeweled.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty much kind of like that. Yeah, and they're, you know what, they're really good games. I really like them, and you can play them two player, and they're brilliant. And the character Dan only throws, because your characters either they throw certain colours on the next side, and Dan only throws red, so it became a popular thing for me and my friends that you need to do a Dan off. You play as Dan, you both play as Dan, and whoever wins.
I remember doing that just on the Street Fighter letter. So the only one I would say that's kind of filler is Wild Arms.
I've not played it. But they are quite popular amongst RPG fans.
Sure they are.
It's kind of steampunky, kind of had a more of a Western feel. But yeah, I've not played them. I've heard, you know, good things. I can't really talk much about that one. But
fair enough. I mean, and then the rest
again,
of
kind
them,
of hidden gem. So again, that's what I'm quite liking about it.
I mean, I didn't mention many. Most of those you said were hidden gems themselves, and the rest of them are all just introductions to iconic franchises that PlayStation still own, and still most of them are still going today. And I'm going to run through those and then call out when you think that, you know,
well, I'm probably going to call out
you probably call out all of them, but I'm going to actually, because of that, I'm going to switch around. But Destruction Derby and Twisted Metal are two very similar styles of games, but
I prefer Destruction Derby. A lot of people in America, I think, are a bit confused by Destruction Derby on there, because Destruction Derby, I think, was very popular over here in the UK and Europe. It was quite a big game in Europe. I don't think it was as popular over there. Twisted Metal, I think, was more popular over there.
Huge over there.
But we like just ramming cars into other cars and smashing cars up instead of being like a crazy person shooting cars. And Vigilante 8 was better.
That's not on the classic PlayStation.
No, but it was better than Twisted Metal.
Fair enough. Next two that are somewhat similar, Rayman and...
Rayman.
How you doing, Rayman?
I feel like we're having ramen noodles now.
I know.
Rayman.
Okay. Rayman.
Better.
Like the worst superhero ever. Like,
I don't actually, you're the only other person I've ever known who's called him Rayman.
Rayman.
Hey, I'm Rayman.
I'm going to power through like I meant to do that as well.
Is that like semen? He's a Rayman.
Yeah. Let's say that.
What, like, you fucking ejaculate rays, like, Rayman!
Why doesn't that game exist? That'd be great.
Are you sure it's not Rayman? That's exactly that. Oddworld Abe's Odyssey.
Well, the 2D platformer.
They're very similar. But they're very...
Well, you rescue things in both aspects.
I spent far too much time on Rayman when I was a kid.
Rayman's great.
I love Rayman.
They're both great games.
You know, I couldn't get into the newer Raymans. Like, original Rayman on PlayStation 1, that was life for me. I loved it. I got to punch things, and I got to let my hand go. My hand went over there and then came back. It was great.
The Origins and Legends are meant to be very good, Rayman, because they went back to the 2D. But yeah, when it went 3D, it went a bit daft. But I played Rayman a lot. It's a great game.
Rayman.
And Oddworld, yeah, definitely needs to be on there. Oddworld's a fucking incredible game. It had a good message as well. It's quite a political game. It did it very well, made it good for kids, and probably why I'm kind of slight political minded, I suppose.
If that
probably didn't probably helped, you know. It did when you was a kid. You saw that, and I mean, I used to sit up with my Uncle John for till like 2 in the morning and stuff like that when I was young, just playing Oddworld with him. It's a classic. It's a brilliant game.
Next, I'd say it's quite on its own, really, but Ridge Racer Type 4. Again, that's another introduction to another.
Yeah, Ridge Racer's a good arcadey driving games. My brother was massive into them. He loved Ridge Racer. He used to play that so much. I'm always on. Well, yeah, good arcadey racers. Yeah. I like Ridge Racer.
And also, it's a different sort of dynamic because you've got a couple of racing games in there already, which are a bit more sort of action, combat-y. Whereas this one's a very good racing game.
It's all about the drifting in that, if I remember, right?
Yeah, it's very much so. And then you got Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six and Siphon Filter.
Rainbow Six was a bit of a. Okay.
But I think that's because it's quite big now. People love Rainbow Six now.
I mean, Tom Clancy's been massive for years. Tom Clancy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was huge. I mean, Rainbow Six was probably one of the first. I think it was the first into the Tom Clancy.
The weird. I think that was bigger than on PC, which is why I'm a bit like.
Potentially.
Okay, because it was a bit clunky, if I remember rightly, on PlayStation 1. But, again, it's an introduction to quite a popular franchise. So I imagine a lot of kids...
Division, Siege, like, look at all these other Tom Clancy.
Which is going to be funny, because a lot of kids are going to play it thinking, oh, yeah, it's Rainbow Six Siege. And it's like, no, this is, like, fucking strategy as shit. You've got to be, like, planning your stuff, because you get grazed by a bullet, you're dead, pretty much. So... Yeah, it's a good game, but it's a bit clunky on the PlayStation 1. Out of most of the games, that one's where I've gone a bit like, what the fuck? fair enough.
Yeah, but again, it's an introduction to a franchise, yeah, which is always something. And
Siphon Filter, I'm glad to see that on there, because that's, you know, yeah, that's good. And it's a shame that that's something you don't see anymore, Siphon Filter games, because they were big boys back in the day. They were, you know, they're one of them franchises that were really big that you don't hit of now, like Legacy of Kain, you know what I mean? They were massive games back then. Shadow Man was a big game when...
Yeah, but a lot of that was down to the developers messing up there, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. The
actual games itself. And then we started to hit into some absolute fucking gold. Like, actually, before we go into the gold, like, I'd never played it, but Revolution's Persona, the introduction to the Persona franchise.
I have not played it, but I've heard it's quite dark, that one.
I mean, the Persona franchise has such a loyal fan base that, like,
I don't think many people got to play that one either.
No, I don't think they did, which is another good reason as to why it's on there, just to find its place. And if it can introduce anyone else to that franchise and they enjoy it, then fucking
hell. That's what most people are excited for, because again, I think it was hard to find in North America and stuff like that, and over in Europe, or it's a bit harder to get game to get. So yeah, and it's, as you said, an introduction to a lot of it.
And then the next five are, I mean, most people will probably still put a lot of these into their top film games of all time. And I'm not going to do this in any order other than
what you read.
I read, yeah. So it's going to go back to front. So first of that list is Tekken 3, probably one of the best fighting games that I've played in a long time. One of the ones that resonated with me longer than any. I remember playing that. As I said, I didn't have a PlayStation, but that was the game that we played around other people's houses. I mean,
it's the best Tekken game probably ever.
Yeah.
Tekken 3 was just, it was, and when it came out as well, it made an impact. I remember when it coming out, and then just playing it, and then you unlocked the arcadey mode where it became like Streets of Rage and shit.
Yeah, that side scroller.
There's Gon in that one. I think Gon's in.
Yeah, Gon was in that one.
Yes.
It was. Mokujin as well, and a few of the weird little characters. But it was great. It's such a fun fighting game, and
kind of accessible as well. It really was. I mean, because of Eddie.
Because of Eddie. Anyone, just here you go. Here's Eddie. Just press all the buttons and he'll do.
There you go, Lola.
And destroy it.
That was your character, weren't it, Eddie?
I didn't play Tekken.
Did you?
Nope.
Well, you can play Tekken, because if you play Eddie, you can just button bash and you'll get away with it.
I used to play a lot of Colin McRae.
Oh, okay.
That would have been a nice addition.
That would have been a nice addition.
Yeah,
it would have been a nice.
As you mentioned, they got put Ridge Racer in a couple of and Destruction Derby.
But no Colin McRae.
They didn't put any that real strong.
Or Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's. I'd love to have seen Tony Hawk's on there.
That'd have been great. Because it got ruined eventually.
TH2.
You'd have to go. You have to do what they did with Tekken 3, and you have to pick. You have to pick Tony Hawk's 2 at least. Yeah. Because Tony Hawk's 1 without manual just doesn't work at all.
It was alright, but yeah, Tony Hawk's 2 was just.
Can't go back to it.
Just Tony Hawk's 2 is, my opinion, the best Tony Hawk's, but
I'd be very pushing to stop that. And then the next four, I really don't even know if I'd even pick a fucking order. So Resident Evil Director's Cut. I mean,
I think it's quite cool they've gone for the Director's Cut route, because they could have easily just gone one or two, but Director's Cut, again, it's not the easiest of Resident Evils to find either. So again, it's making it a bit more, it's harder though, so that's going to probably screw people over. But yeah, Resident Evil 2 Director's Cut, big shout, Resident Evil, it's wicked, and it's again, yeah, like the, it's the more obscure version of the game to find.
Yeah, I mean, what more do you need as an introduction to a fantastic franchise? It wobbles a bit, but
voice acting's the best.
And then probably one of the best games of all time in Metal Gear Solid. I think having Metal Gear Solid alone, I think if you didn't have Metal Gear Solid, I think you'd get an amazing upprise. I think so many people would be upset if they didn't see Metal Gear Solid onto that. Into this console, and I could easily pick that up tomorrow and play it until the end.
Yeah.
How are they going to do that bit?
What?
Psycho Mantis, yeah. So it's
how are they going to do that?
There's not got Rumble feature in it. So.
They've not got a Rumble. They probably won't have memory cards. They won't have. They will still have the controller ports.
Mm.
They won't have take the disc out and put in disc two.
They have. If you press the open button, I think I heard if you press that, that does the change in the discs.
Oh, it just needs to realise that the disc has been opened and closed, and it just yeah. Fair enough. But again, yeah, just justifies it. And then Grand Theft Auto. I mean, do you really need to justify as to why Grand Theft Auto is on there?
Yeah, exactly. Grand Theft Auto London.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do this. The Austin Powers version of
No, I'm pleased.
That was very weird.
but it's Austin Powers, it's supposed to be weird.
GTA 1. Because again, it's GTA 1. I think people forget Grand Theft Auto's roots.
They do.
So it'd be quite nice for them to, you know.
See where it came from.
See where it came from, because it's not.
Kids of the today.
Well, it was actually just Grand Theft Auto, where you just rob cars and you go A to B.
Yeah.
Or you blow up Wembley Stadium if you played London.
They're gonna look at it, and just kids of today, gonna look at it and go, that isn't a car.
No, and the control scheme of how you shoot, the sort of, the 360.
The bullets power. Travelling.
Yeah.
You can outrun bullets.
That'd
be fun. But no, it's good. I still remember the cheat code, the shit. There's a certain character that you change your name to the shit and you unlock all the weapons or something like that. There we go.
Nice.
There we go, people. Cheat codes.
Finally, probably one of my favourite games of all time is Final Fantasy VII.
Sephiroth's a Quim.
Don't care.
If we ever make merchandise, that's going to be the first merchandise we ever produce. Sephiroth is a Quim mug, T-shirt, you name it. I like to do it just because it's just that thing that pisses off Final Fantasy people. I did it to Williamson. You're just like, you can just see him having a fucking brain aneurysm. I'm like, yeah, that's why I like it, because it's just like, look at you just crumble over just a little sentence I've said.
Yeah, Sephiroth's not even the most memorable. Like, best character, isn't it?
Cloud's a bit of a fucking whipped ass bitch,
isn't
he?
He's a damn squib, isn't he?
Barrett's the boy, is it?
Barrett's the boy. Tifa's badass. Yuffie's badass. Red 13's badass. Lots of the characters are great, but Sephiroth, yeah. Sephiroth's like four different characters on each disc, like. Yeah. But anyway,
Yeah, that's got to be on it.
It's a great game. It's over 100 hours worth of content on that
console. And it was when it came out. I mean, remember the cutscenes? It was like, what the fuck?
I replayed it last year, man.
Like, well, at the time when you saw it, though, like, I remember watching the trailer just being as a kid and, like, watching it on the demo over and over again. And it's like, this shit is fucking what?
Well, yeah, cause
crazy. And then you see the actual game graphic.
they do the thing where it was one quality of pixels for the gameplay, one for
the fights,
and then one for the full motion videos. And if they cut out the full motion videos, I'm sure they could probably put another 100 hours into that game.
There's the best thing though about Final Fantasy VII is just the battle song.
Pretty sure the victory tune is also probably the most recognizable things other than
Yeah. Are we going to put the actual tune over Jack's voice
No, we're not.
See how out of tune it is. See how much in tune it is. So, that's Sony Plus. So, what do we all think?
So, I was going to say, okay, we mentioned Spyro and Crash that they missed.
Well, they didn't miss it.
Well, okay, that's missed off of the list that they've done. Well, I'll go into why I think that list is fucking fantastic. I've not already, but I think they were also missing probably a few other cool games that they could have done. I think Dino Crisis would have been cool. Tomb Raider would have been cool. Mm. Although most people have already played Tomb Raider. But I'm really struggling to think of other games that's not been included in the PlayStation.
The thing is, the PlayStation's got
Kiss Pinball.
So many so many great games on it. That it's you could be there all day. Well, why ain't this game on it? Why ain't this game on it? It's like, well, look, the fuck games is you know, it's got some classics, right? Why isn't Soul Reaver on there? You know, because it's not, all right? Yeah, but it could be on there because there's a lot of classics on that.
Spice World.
Hey, well, with them coming back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, back on tour, yeah, they could easily...
Weakest Link, that was a great game on the PS1.
Pretty sure it weren't.
It was.
You Don't Know Jack, that was good. No, it was a real game, You Don't Know Jack. It was a quiz game on the PlayStation 1. It was really good.
Yeah, I think I know Jack quite well.
No, it's actual quiz. Seriously, Sergio. Yes, it is. It's a real game.
Is it like Jackbox?
It's a real quiz game. Yeah, it's where the Jackbox thing comes from. You Don't Know Jack, originally.
Nice.
It's just a decent game. You used to play it a lot. Really. Worms. That could have been on there. Worms is a good shout.
That would have been good to put on there.
Or Hogs of War. Especially because Rick Mail, obviously, passing.
Mm.
I think Hogs of War would have been a nice ode to a genius comedian. But yeah, I'm happy with that, with PS1 Classic, because again, it's got some hidden gems in there, it's got classics in there. You kind of want a bit of both.
Just it's got such a diverse range of genres as well. Like,
yeah.
If you got that at Christmas, if I got that at Christmas, fuck, you know. I'd spend all Christmas playing that. I'd spend all New Year playing those games. And this is someone that's played most of them before.
Well, yeah, it's. I think it's a very well put. Yeah, I think it's all right.
Yeah, very impressive. I don't think it's enough to convince me to buy one of these mini consoles yet.
I think if you get one, you're not going to be upset by it. But
no, not even slightly. So yeah, I think that's a quality Christmas present for most people.
Or just buy a PS1. And then you can't have digital games, can you?
No, you can't.
That's going to break you.
Yeah, you don't get those 20 games, though, do you? And as Jack mentioned throughout me rolling them out, some of those were hidden gems and quite hard to obtain.
Depends how many retro game markets you go to.
This is true.
And if you have a Lola, who's a great spotter.
This is true. It sounds like it's another game in itself to obtain that collection, though.
Yeah. Not really.
Classic collection. But yeah, I think it's good. Any other words on that, Lola?
No.
There we have it.
There we have it.
No, I just think words. Buy a PS1.
Buy a PS1. The problem is, it doesn't...
I got the NES and I got the SNES minis. Yes, there's some great games
got
on there.
Since when have you got the NES and SNES mini?
No, I got the idea of them, like with the games and the fact that.
Oh right.
I get them, then I get them, and then I understand. Oh my god, get with the kids.
I get the PlayStation ones more because discs don't age as well as cartridges do.
I know, but I don't know. When it was first announced, before the games were released. Yeah. So now the games have been released, I am a little bit more open to it because of what's on it. But when it was first announced that the PlayStation Mini was coming, I went crazy and I just went buy a PS1. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, but you're gonna get 20 games. Yeah, but what games? Like, you know.
True, but it's easy to obtain a PS1. And
yeah, it's like it's 20 quid for a PS1. And then, like, obviously, now the games that have been released.
How much does you guys are collectors? So let's figure some of this out. How much is Final Fantasy VII? That's gonna be
not overly
probably 20. You can
20-ish quid.
20 quid. Metal Gear Solid.
20.
No.
20.
You can get it. You can get it cheaper, but
okay.
I'll go for top price 20.
Grand Theft Auto 1.
A fiver.
Fiver. Resident Evil Director's Cut.
That's about 20-25.
2025, Tekken
3. Hardly hope.
Probably quite, I imagine it would be about 10, 15 top price.
Okay, just the games, you guys have quoted somewhere between 60 and 80 quid.
Yeah, but you can get more games. afterwards.
No, but this is what I'm saying, before the games were released.
But for someone who's not going to be a gamer, per se, so for like my brother, who's someone who dabbles in games, likes to have a blast, it's ideal. You know,
I'm more on board with it now, with the games release. I'm more on board. But when it was first announced, everybody was like, oh yeah, I hope Crash is on it, I hope Spyro's on it. And I was just like,
fucking Crash and
Spyro. Do you know what? Like, they've been released, like, buy a PlayStation 1 if you want to play the classics. But now the list has come out. Much like, they've got some games on there that are either expensive or they're hard to find. And you've then got to buy a memory card.
It was surprising. So, you know what I mean? That was the thing for me. When I saw the list, I was on the train. And I was just like, all right. Yeah, I think that's a good list. And now I tweeted. So you're like, yeah, good list. I quite like that. Some hidden gems in there and stuff. It's really put a bit of thing in there. And everyone else got, whoa! I was like, whoa. But I've seen more on the collector circuit. A lot of people have been more like, yeah, that's a good list. And it's,
again, I think it's because it touches so many different franchises. And
yeah, and that's what everyone's, it's the genres in there. You've got a bit of everything in there.
Yeah, I've got something for all the family.
You definitely do.
So,
it'd be a very good Christmas present.
Yeah, do let us know if you did get that for Christmas.
Yes, certainly do.
Now, would you get me a fucking drink? I'm not going to ask you again.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, in terms of that being a great Christmas present, do you guys have any other great Christmas presents that you've had over the years?
Well, I think we should talk about a good Christmas. That's a set them bells.
Jingle bells. Sleigh bells.
Christmas memories. Ding ding dong 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 dong. Bang. So, gaming memories. I'll start. I'm going to go with one of my early gaming memories, Christmas gaming memories, and that was when I got a Sega Mega Drive.
Nice.
Me and my brother did. It's when I was living.
It was yours, though, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, we both played it. We had two controllers and shit. So it was when we was in the flat. My mum had a futon to sleep in and stuff. And it was really dingy. It was wood lice that I used to play with in there and stuff. It was just a fucking piece of shit.
However, you had a Mega Drive.
But yeah, my mum got us the Mega Drive and it was fucking shit hot. And,
I thought your dad got
it. No, mum. And we got, I remember playing Terminator 2 Arcade, so it was like the shooter thing, me and brother playing that a lot, and obviously Streets of Rage and stuff like that, but yeah, that was my first game memory, from what I can remember. Yeah, it was a nice present, because it was Mega Drive, weren't it, you know what I mean, what kid didn't want a Mega Drive?
Some kids wanted a SNES or something.
Well, SNES is a better console. But, you know, at the time it was cooler to have a Mega Drive and Sonic and Terminator 2 Arcade.
So what was the games that you remember other than the ones you just mentioned? What was the... was there something that you and your brother both played?
I just really remember Terminator 2 Arcade on Christmas Day. Just because the landlord came over, he was a fucking weird guy.
Came over on Christmas?
Yeah, he just used to come over uninvited and stuff. He was fucking
on
weird.
On Christmas?
Yeah, I think because my mum was single, I reckon he probably wanted a bit. but he was old then, so he didn't have a chance.
There's so many jokes there about your mum that I'm just going to leave on the table, mate.
And yeah, I just remember him walking in then, and yeah, just mainly Streets of Rage, Sonic. Used to have the Shinobi,
nice.
Ranger Shinobi. So yeah, they were the main ones. But yeah, I don't know, on Christmas Day, I just for some reason just remember Terminator 2 Arcade a lot.
Yeah, I remember when we got a Mega Drive. I think it was probably around the same time of year. It was one of those where. It was Sonic, I think, was the only game I got, which we played fucking loads, just over and over and over and over again. That's such a good console, man. Yeah. This got caught in a memory then. I'm just playing those games over and over again, and the musics and fucking how good that console was, and how many hours I sunk into those games.
Yeah, I've even got a few of the Pebble Beach games up there. Golf games, they're great. Charlotte was like, why do you want golf games? I'm like, it's fucking Pebble Beach golf games. These are the best kind of fucking golf games you get. Pebble Beach is killer.
Nice.
Killer golf game.
I only ever played Echo the Dolphin on Mega Drive.
Echo's a good game.
That is all I played.
See, my sister played that, and I could never get past the first level.
Oh, neither could I.
And I didn't realise the nature in life that it was the first level was to jump over the wall. I didn't realise that.
Oh, no. I didn't get past the first level either. I loved it. I still can't get past the first level now.
Oh, yeah.
I still love playing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I liked even Echo 2, Tides of Time. I quite like that one as well. But, yeah. Yeah, that
great
was
game,
that.
Cool.
That was yeah, definitely the one I'm going to use this year.
Nice. So for me, it was pretty similar. One of my greatest memories is probably more for the annoyance rather than just as much as the quality. I got PlayStation 2 for Christmas and Devil May Cry, and I remember being so excited, but my parents forgot to buy a memory card. So we couldn't get a memory card, and it wasn't Boxing Day. I think it may have been a couple of days after that, but and I couldn't just leave the PlayStation on either. It wasn't like back in the day where you could just leave your Mega Drive on and no one would notice and you keep your save file. So I remember playing Devil May Cry the first couple levels of those must have been about 10 times. I knew how to beat that first spider boss so many times.
He was a bit of a git as well, if I remember rightly, when you first played him.
Yeah, he was really difficult, but when I got my memory card, I was able to fucking S-class him. And I was like, this is amazing, this is so easy. And then I got to the next bit, and I was just caned every time. But yeah, it was such a great piece of kit to play for the first time on Christmas, because it was also around that time when it wasn't just all right, I got a console, I got a game, and I'd go in my room and play it, and no one else would. It's big investment for my family to actually to buy that console, so everyone was very much watching me play this game. No one really understanding what was going on. And yeah, it probably wasn't the best game to show to my mum and dad and sister, you know, guy getting his face impaled and all that other stuff, but and the blood everywhere. But it was a fantastic game, and again, probably one of the most memorable Christmas days I've got, just from replaying that over and over and over and over again.
Well, maybe next year we might see that console creep up again. So yeah.
What was that noise?
I don't know. I just rolled with it. PS2, yeah. Devil May Cry, great game. I really like them. My dad had Devil May Cry, so I used to play that when I used to go over at the weekends a lot. Spent a lot of time playing it. Loved it. It was a big game when it came out.
Great game when it came out.
Yeah, and PS2 again. You know, Sony, another solid console. Great console, loads of games, loads of hidden gems. Keep digging into that game catalogue. You'll just get surprised and surprised and surprised. That's why we've got so many fucking PlayStation 2 games, because you just keep digging in there and you just find some fucking good stuff. You find some shit as well, which Lola's accumulated.
Well, it's the biggest selling console of all time, eh? That's not handheld.
Yes, I believe so. What was one off?
Game Boy.
I think it is the best. Yeah, and then
I didn't even realise it had an online system until I saw the news it was being shut down.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it got a LAN.
I didn't realise it had one until
PlayStation.
When did that happen?
When did it get online? SOCOM was the main one. I think that was big online SOCOM, and the Rainbow Six 3, which was a great game.
That's why I didn't know of it, because I didn't play those games.
Not many. It weren't massive. I think Black might have been online as well. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, but there was a few games that were, but weren't especially in Europe, it was bigger, I think, in Japan and North America than it was over here, like online play, because obviously the Resident Evil outbreaks, they were online. I think in America and stuff, but not over here.
I think I played Phantasy Star Online on the PlayStation. If that was on Dreamcast.
There was one on Dreamcast, but I don't know if they did do one on PlayStation later on. Lola, your Christmas gaming memories.
He's sticking with it. He's sticking with that jingle.
He is. You don't have to live with it.
Yeah. Yeah. The life you chose.
Fucking condescending me, man. I'll fucking kill you, man.
You're quite dumb.
A reference here for anyone who knows now. Carry on.
So, Christmas. Christmas at my household did not involve me playing games.
Oh,
it involved putting the dinner on, which is anything but turkey. Anything we can cook in a slow cooker, normally. Right. Or the oven, very slowly. And there wasn't turkey. And then we would go to the pub.
Mm. Well, considering this is to do with gaming, well, I suppose the drinking side on the pub's all right, but yeah, have to clutch onto
I will get onto gaming.
Maybe make your own story up or something.
No, I have got a gaming memory of receiving a console. Just couldn't bloody play it on Christmas Day.
Okay.
Managed to play it about 3 days after.
Yeah.
And anywho, so I was relatively lucky in the fact that I had a TV in my room.
Nice.
Because my parents didn't want to watch me play games.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit later on. I did eventually get older consoles after I got my first one. So I got a PlayStation 2 for Christmas. It was prior to Christmas that I got it, but it was for Christmas because my mum and dad won part a little bit on the lottery.
Nice.
So they won money on the Thunderbolt. They didn't get the Thunderbolt. But they got the one below the top prize.
Nice.
Which back in the day, I think, was about $5,000.
Fucking hate.
So, like, in today's money, it's still a lot of money, but it's not as much as what it was in the 90s. Yeah,
very far.
So I begged as we walked around Curry's, as it was then. Comet. No, it was Comet. Went round Comet. My dad knew the guy who worked in Comet.
Forgot Comet existed.
Yeah, Comet existed.
Is this a Peter Kay stand-up routine or something? Remember Comet? Comet, didn't they? Hey, didn't they used to have a Comet?
Fridges that weren't plugged in. And everyone checking it. Ooh, this is a nice fridge. Anyway.
Sorry.
So my dad knew the guy in Comet and made
when you knew people in Comet? Sorry.
I'm dumb.
Sorry, I'm joking.
Basically, I got a PS2. Got it cheaper. Because my dad's a tight git.
Was it?
Hey, if you can get a bargain, get a bargain. Like, there's nothing wrong with
he
that.
He just won the Thunderbolt, and there he was trying to get a discount on his PlayStation 2.
How did he get the discount? Besides just knowing the man. Because
he knew the man in Comet.
Just that it.
Yeah.
He didn't
that was
go,
it.
I'll have like two games and then you knock
I think
it
he
out.
Bought a TV at the same time, to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
For the downstairs, because I got the old TV. That's how it worked. When my dad upgraded TVs like every 2 years, I got the old TV.
Yeah, that's sort of
every 2 years. That's quite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad liked the newest stuff.
You like the newest TV?
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Get a new TV. Gotta get it.
You've seen my dad's bloody TV. He likes his nice kit. Don't use it for much. He just listens to music on it, so it's actually not doing a lot. But you know.
Considered a soundbar.
He has got one.
Yeah, remember back in the day though, you loved a good visualizer on a console.
Oh,
you had to check that visualizer on a console when you put a CD disc in, right? What's the visualizer like? Oh yeah, all right, I'm digging this. This
PS2
is
had a very good visualizer, didn't it?
Sets the tone for the console. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had one of the CRT HDs.
Right.
So the HD TV before flat screen HDs came out. So I had the last...
What, like the rear projector kind of ones?
Yes, it was one of them bad boys. It was heavy as hell. And I was up the stairs and it was an horrible thing to move. I had it right up until I moved out of home. I refused to upgrade after that TV because I loved it.
Nice.
It was massive. But yeah, that was really it, and convinced my dad to buy me Vice City.
Vice City?
Yeah.
Wow, fucking hell.
He was like, but Charlotte, you're not old enough. I am. I would play that game. And
that was always a weird little sort of argument, like negotiation you had to have with your parents. Like, get me, it's fine, it's pixelated, it's fine, just get me the game.
My mum's quite liberal, so I didn't really have that problem. I remember having fucking Manhunt. And
my dad didn't understand games at the time, so it was fine.
My mum did, but she's said liberal. She's like, it's not going to make you go out and kill someone because you're sane, and if you go out and kill someone, you've probably got just problems that's not caused from playing video games, which is usually the case, believe it or not, people.
That's a revelation.
So Vice City, good shout.
Vice City, and then my dad took my PlayStation 2 away and chipped it.
he doesn't know much about gaming, but he knows he can chip it.
No,
same guy from Comet. That did
No, there was a different guy my dad knew who lived round corner.
Dixon's.
yeah, this would be the curious guy.
The random guy also got me my PS1,
okay. That
amazingly was chipped as well, and then I gave my dad the R4 card for my DS.
Wow, okay. So you literally never had to pay for games.
And chipped my 360.
Wow.
So,
I've had a dodgy life.
Don't sue me and Griggle Wiggle, just sue Lola or these companies.
To be fair, she's made up for it. Both of you have made up for it.
Yeah.
The amount of games that you've bought since that time.
And so, to be fair, like, I've bought a lot of the games that I used to play as a kid on these.
Everyone had it chipped.
Yeah.
Especially PlayStation 1. Everyone fucking
had PlayStation 1.
I miss the days of going to. Me and Dad used to go to the market just to see the guy who did fucking copied games. Just on the market. Just there you go. Yeah, get 2 for a 5, I think it was. So my dad would pick one and let me pick one.
Because everyone had one of those CD wallets, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
that guy, he made proper plastic. He got plastic cases and put a little picture in there. I think he even had the stickers for the disc.
I used to get a picture disc, but I never used to get anything other than that. Then my dad started to go into business doing it. And he was like, I tell you what, Charlotte, we'll buy you the actual game. Wow. If I can copy it. That was how it went after that. So it meant that I got the actual game.
Again, in that time, like, copyright laws, like, yeah, there was the horrible adverts that they saw. You wouldn't steal bag or you wouldn't
they're stupid because
they were stupid, but I mean that was very much the time of like VHS, everyone like had VHS.
You wouldn't steal a bag. I'm like, well, people do steal bags, so they watch this advert like, well, I've fucking done that, so of course I'm gonna bloody chip a download a game. The best is though is the guy in the on the VHS ones with the train spotting, there's no trains in it, but that's my fault as well, hey. Remember that one? Yep.
Wasted on me. But yeah, that's the earliest memory I have of actually receiving a console or a game and not playing it. until I was about 18.
No, it's a good shout. Vice City is a great game.
Vice City was such a good game.
Yeah, until I was 18 and bought my own 360 as my own Christmas present. Bought Rock Band.
Nice.
I've been playing Vice City with my dad a lot. We just love the fact that motorbikes got introduced into it, because it was just like that just opened up a world of possibilities.
Just driving around doing me playing that a lot,
doing jumps and doing all that. That was pretty much me. Yeah,
I think Vice City is probably the best.
Still my personal favourite. Probably not, it's aged a bit shit.
I bet.
So maybe because 5 kind of brought a bit of that back into it. I thought, but for me. Brought a bit of that fun back.
I don't know. The soundtrack on Vice City. The
soundtrack on 5 is pretty good. If you go onto the other stations, there's some good stuff on there. It's got a fly low radio station. Like, come on. I'm on that.
Great game. Great.
So that's it. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. And enjoy.
Hopefully you'll get to be more like Jack and I on our Christmas memories and actually get to play games on Christmas other than...
Or be like me and go to the pub, and when you're 10 you can't really drink.
Yeah.
So be like the adult version of that 10-year-old and drink.
Yeah. just drink video games.
Video games? What, like melting
it in? Drinking the experience.
Yeah. Find a gaming bar that's open on Christmas Day. Play games and drink.
Yeah.
Do that.
Or just drink at home and play video games.
No, but it's nice to go out.
Well, whatever you do, play games, have a drink, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.